Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Orioles will try to break the 7-game losing streak as they're 16 games below 500, 12 games out of first, second worst run differential in baseball behind only the Rockies. Nobody saw this one coming, but it is reality and we're living it in real time. Now, the Ravens, they're expected to be maybe the best team in the AFC. Certainly one of the five best teams, I would think, in the NFL, as we look at rosters and schedules and everything of that nature, heading into OTAs in another, 10 days or so. And here to talk about that from USA Today, it's the Ravens Wires on the Window Nation guest hotline. Joins us every Tuesday. He is Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling today?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Is it football season yet? I think is the overlying theme in Baltimore, the way the Orioles are playing right now. And I feel like after we talked last week, the floodgates kind of opened on the Ravens news. Darius Washington's unfortunate injury, Derrick Henry's extension, the schedule coming out. So football is a year-round sport, and they certainly showed us that last week.
Yeah, and if the Orioles keep flatlining, we're going to be extracting as much juice out of that one as we can. The National Football League. But you mentioned our Darius Washington. Let's work that one up here. As Achilles injury, unfortunately, a young guy continues to battle that sort of thing, one injury after another. How does he get replaced? Is it going to be an in-house replacement, Kevin, or are they going to look outside the organization to do that?
I think it'll be some level of both. And the reason I say that is because there are multiple different pathways. The only other safeties on your roster now outside of Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks, it's Bo Braid and Sanusi Kane. And so being able to trust those guys, I mean, you can do that. But if I'm Baltimore, I kind of look to last year and see how they really didn't have a ton of options after they exhausted everything that they had. In my opinion, I think they should go out and sign a veteran guy. Now, does that mean they have to break the bank for the top option, which in this case would be a Justin Simmons? Not necessarily. There are other guys that could potentially be a decent option for them, like a Julian Blackman, for example. They could potentially go after guys like Marcus May. Like, not necessarily a high-level replacement, but someone who, where if you want to trust Bo Braid, and I think Bo Braid has a lot of intangibles that can replace Ardarius in the back end there, you want to go with that, that's completely fine. But if it doesn't work, and there's always a possibility that it doesn't work, I think that Baltimore having a veteran option behind him is probably the best course of action. So I feel like for me, it's going to come down to what these veteran guys on the market want. Are they going to want a big role, you know, to be the top guy? If that's what they want, that's probably not going to happen in Baltimore, considering Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks are there. But if they're willing to play a rotational role, be in on certain snaps and figure out that, hey, there's an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, I think that that could be a solid option for him. So I'd say a little bit of both.
Now, speaking of additions to said roster, John Jenkins was signed over the weekend late of the Raiders, 12 years in the National Football League, New Orleans, Seattle, Giants, Bears, Dolphins, among others. And coming in maybe, Kevin, off the best year he's had in a while, is 35 years old, but is he, in theory, the guy that replaces Michael Pierce here in 2025?
Yeah, this is definitely your Michael Pierce replacement, in my opinion, and he's a guy that has been durable over the last 2 years, a 17-game player in each of the last 2 years for Las Vegas, and we know, Bob, that one of the best traits you can have in the National Football League is availability, so I think, look, Pierce was a big loss for them this offseason, both figuratively and literally, because
right,
he is a big man. But John Jenkins comes in, and he replaces, and he fills that big hole. And I think that, again, he's going to provide less than Pierce did as a pass rusher. You know, Pierce, not that he was this all-world, like, 10-sack-a-season guy, but he was able to provide a little bit more push in the pocket than I think Jenkins will. I think Jenkins is truly your situational run defender. So on early downs, obvious run situations, you want John Jenkins in there. But as a pass rusher, he's probably not going to give you too much, or at least not as much as Pierce gave you, even though the bar was not set super high there. So that's fine to me, because they needed a specific skill set. They didn't need this Pro Bowl defensive lineman to come in. They have a really solid defensive line room already, obviously with Madubuike, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington. You add a guy like Aeneas Peabody to that as well. So I think Jenkins just fits a need. He fills in for Michael Pierce, and it's a pretty even one-for-one replacement. I think Pierce is probably a little better, but again, it's not the end of the world. I think Jenkins will be just fine in Baltimore.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire, joining us here on the Fan. Bob Haney and Nolan McGraw with you on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Derrick Henry, the extension, 2 years, $30 million, $20 million guaranteed. Met with the media yesterday. Not surprised that he got extended. Expected that it would happen. Any surprise level, however, with the financial windfall that he got, and the fact also, Kevin, that he didn't really say that this was the last deal he was even signing, as he's now on the other side of 30 here.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for thinking that maybe he could go on, considering the fact that he has been one of the most used running backs in this league over the course of his career, especially in Tennessee. And last year in Baltimore, he certainly had that high workload, but he's shown no signs of slowing down. So it's a big number for a guy who's 31 years old as a running back. I get that. I completely acknowledge it. But I would have been more worried about it if he had shown signs of slowing down. And truly, with Lamar in that backfield, I mean, I feel like Lamar, in that pairing with Derrick Henry, Lamar could extend Derrick Henry's career here. And it's not that, you know, those two guys, I mean, you look at the two of them, they make each other better. It just, you know, I know that Lamar got a lot of flack for having Derrick Henry on his team last year, which was ridiculous in my opinion, but it's just the truth of the matter where it just takes bodies away from the box, whether it's Lamar doing it or Derrick Henry doing it, opening up throwing lanes for Lamar, opening up running lanes for Henry. Those two get the best out of each other. And Henry talked in his press conference about how much fun he had this past season and, you know, how much he embraced Baltimore, loves Baltimore, the organization. And that, to me, shows that he is truly committed to winning here, to being here. The extension shows it as well. So once the Saquon Barkley deal got signed, obviously that Henry extension was going to cost more money. And I know that Barkley is younger, but you know, it's just kind of the nature of things right now. So for Henry, you get a bunch of guaranteed money in that extension. And I think for a guy who has a couple really, really high-level good years ahead of him still, if I'm Baltimore, I'm feeling good about that extension, because you want to keep guys like that in the building, guys who obviously are superstar players, but superstar players that are committed to you and love playing for your team.
Now, who gets the next one? Is it Kyle Hamilton? Is it Tyler Linderbaum? Or is it Lamar? Who gets done next?
I'm going to go with Lamar. I think Lamar's will get done. And that's a tough cookie to crack, or the tough nut to crack, because I think that when you talk about a guy like Lamar, I mean, you're going to have to pay him the big bucks. And we saw Josh Allen's deal. Now Brock Purdy is making more than him. So that extension is not going to be necessarily easy to come about, but it would free up a ton of money for Baltimore both now and in the future. And it has to come before next offseason. I mean, Lamar's cap number next offseason is going to be upwards of $70 million. And you know, you can't functionally build a team around him with that number. And so I think the Ravens know that. I think Lamar knows that. I feel like it is just a matter of time. And look, with the way that quarterback contracts are going, and honestly, this is a conversation for guys like Hamilton and Linderbaum too, who you mentioned, but you know, the more guys that get signed ahead of you, it means the more money that you are going to make when you're at the top of your position. You know, we saw a guy like Kirby Joseph get that historic deal at the safety position. That means Kyle Hamilton's deal is going to go up. If a center signs for more than Creed Humphrey has in Kansas City right now, Linderbaum's deal will go up. We just saw Fred Warner sign an extension with the 49ers. Roquan's next deal, if he gets one from Baltimore, is going to go up. So that kind of philosophy is magnified with the quarterback position, considering how those contracts are going nowadays. But being able to have that short-term and long-term cap relief will be good for the Ravens, because, you know, you can get away with it. The Ravens don't really need to add a ton more this offseason, but just getting that deal done, having it in the rear view and being able to focus, because they have a lot of other guys they have to look at, like an Isaiah Likely, Travis Jones, et cetera. So we'll see how it all plays out for them. But I would probably say, if I had to guess, and this is just a guess, I feel like Lamar would probably be the one to get it next.
All right, Kevin, you mentioned the schedule. Last thing for you on this Turn Up Tuesday, Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Oh, the Fan, Josh Allen, first game, all right, then Cleveland to be determined. Jared Goff, Matt Stafford's in L.A., Mahomes, C.J. Stroud, and then after the bye, Caleb Williams. I said 12-5 looking at the schedule. You know, they're going to lose a game they probably should win, then they'll pull one out of the depths of defeat. So what do you think, 12-5 duplicating last year? Is there more to reach here? That home field advantage is always something you strive to get going into the playoffs, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'd probably say right around 12-5, 13-4 is probably where I am right now. You know, there are a lot of tough teams on that schedule. And you mentioned the early stretch where it is Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit, and Kansas City in your first 4 weeks, followed up by the Texans and the Rams. That's, you know, five out of your first six games are going to be against division winners. And that's always tough. And then, you know, if you wanted to call a portion of the schedule easy, it probably would be in the middle there. I think the week seven bye is a little, like, it's a tad early, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, we were talking last year about how late that bye was, and honestly, when it came, it was the perfect time. They kind of needed that reset. So it's given me a new perspective on bye weeks. But then, you know, you don't really play your big division games till the end of the season. Obviously, that week 18 game against Pittsburgh might have some pretty big implications to finish on the road. And honestly, Bob, kind of feels like baseball, where you get like three at home, three on the road. It's like mini series almost, where, you know, you have that stretch where you're at home for like a month, right, with the bye week. So I think that for Baltimore, 12-5, 13-4 is right around where I have. You mentioned it; they'll probably drop a game or maybe two. They're supposed to win like they did last, or they're supposed to lose like they did last year, and then they'll pull out games as well. So we'll see what happens, but I think Baltimore's in a good spot this year.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, as always, appreciate the time. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You too, Bob. Appreciate you. Talk soon.
You got it, buddy. Here's Kevin Allstriker, everybody. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Talk about what happened in the world of sports last night. Well, quite frankly, not a lot. But we'll get you set up for the Stanley Cup and the NBA playoffs. This day in Orioles history, some cool stuff happened there. Good news, as always, is that Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, Maryland, has a new AD. He gets introduced on Thursday. And old Buzz Williams rebuilding a roster that is definitely going to be more athletic than last year's team. Is it going to be better with maybe more reinforcements to come? Remember last year? Well, 2 months ago, Maryland made the Sweet 16.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
16.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off this week. Steve Molesky will be joining us coming up at 12 o'clock. Talk Orioles with him. Final 2 hours of the program. Orioles, of course, they've lost seven in a row, including last night, 5-4. Mike Elias will meet with the media in Milwaukee coming up at 4:30 today. That should be interesting. Can't wait to dissect that one when we reconvene tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Ryan Ripken will be back tomorrow as we rip it with him. So stay tuned for all of that good stuff. But Stanley Cup playoffs resume tonight. Eastern Conference Finals, Panthers at Hurricanes. Hurricanes finished off the Caps last week. So the winner of this one gets to the Stanley Cup Finals. Florida blew out Toronto. Game 7 in Toronto. So the Panthers, defending champions, trying to make it back-to-back out west. Oilers at Stars. Not a hockey aficionado by any stretch, but I'm going to root for Edmonton just for the hell of it. The old Yari Curry, Messier, Wayne Gretzky, Grant Fuhr days of 40-some years ago. However, in the NBA playoffs, Western Conference Finals start tonight. T-Wolves at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City survives Denver 7 games. Blow out the Nuggets. Big time. You get there, T-Wolves beat the Curry-less, for the most part, Warriors to reach it for the second time consecutively. First time in franchise history. Minnesota has done that. We think Nolan McGraw, the Ant-Man, against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You got Julius Randle, who's been playing his ass off here as of late. Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, of course, Aaron Wiggins with the Thunder. Who you liking out West?
I mean, I'm going to roll with the Thunder. Feels easy, feels chalky as the top seed, but I don't know. I just feel like they're a little bit deeper. I'll take their star power slightly over what they've got there in Minnesota. So we'll see. But I mean, look, Timberwolves run to this point, very impressive. Although I feel like there's been some games here and there where Anthony Edwards has kind of taken off, maybe not at his best. They can't afford that in this one.
Yeah, and can't have him if he's ice cold from beyond the arc. Stop shooting threes. Get to the rim, which he does as well as any player in the NBA. I'm going OKC in six games here. But it should be a physical series. I'm sure there'll be some drama, usually is. But the Thunder, they'll get to the finals. And in the East, which starts tomorrow, Pacers at the Knicks. Indiana's in the conference finals, second straight year. Remember, they beat New York in the semifinals last year. The good thing is the Eastern Conference finals are on TNT. Because if they were on ESPN, which has the West, the big story in Game 7 last year between Indiana and the Knicks was Stephen A. Smith profiling like he was the Pope. And they got blown out, which is great. Dan Patrick is even like, they really screwed that up, making that game all about him instead of about the drama that goes along with this rivalry. So maybe he'll still profile, and we get to listen to Shaq and Kenny and Barkley make fun of it, because next year, unfortunately, Inside the NBA moves to, even though TNT is going to produce it, it's going to be on ESPN, which means they'll be shoving Screaming A down your throat,
right,
whether you want it or not.
But he's been surpassed. I mean, all the celebrity Knicks fans have come out of the woodwork now that they're actually doing something worthwhile. I mean, Timothée Chalamet, he's like the top Knicks. The actor.
I didn't know who he was till this Bob Dylan thing came out. And for the record, I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan.
He's in Dune.
Oh, never saw
Willy Wonka. He was the new Willy Wonka.
No, I saw the original one, kind of, sort of.
Well, nothing tops Gene Wilder.
No, and I've only seen bits and pieces of that one. No, so Timothée Chalamet. All right, I'm taking your word he's a star. And I see he's rat-a-tat-tat in a Jenner, which I think most of Hollywood has, or
impressive.
Athletic field.
Impressive nonetheless.
Yeah, but I didn't know who he was till the Bob Dylan movie came out, so I'll take your word. I saw Ben Stiller was there.
I mean, I think...
Is he still an A-lister?
No? We're beyond the Spike Lee stuff. I mean, I don't need that anymore. It's time for a new wave, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay. I know Baba Booey was at the last game against Boston himself.
I'm saying. All the stars were out.
Yeah, there you go. Baba Booey. Anyway, I like the Knicks in six. In a competitive, every game will be close series. Halliburton, we talked about it yesterday, Nolan. Is he a superstar, full-fledged? Maybe not. Like, would you say Cade Cunningham's more of a superstar than Halliburton is? Or are they equals?
That's tough. That's tough. I mean, because Halliburton's been on the bigger stage.
Yeah, he was on the Olympic team, didn't play, but got a gold medal. Back-to-back conference finals. Jalen Brunson's a superstar or a star?
Well, what he does in the playoffs, I think, makes him star.
So I'll go New York in six in a hotly contested game. Now, perfect world, you want to see Minnesota play New York. Thibodeau used to coach Minnesota. They traded Cat to New York for Julius Randle and DiVincenzo. Remember Dante DiVincenzo almost got into a fight during the preseason with Jalen Brunson's dad. And Brunson and DiVincenzo and Bridges and Hart were teammates at Villanova. I want to see a better series, though. Drama aside, I think OKC and New York would be the better series.
Well, I think this one will go the distance. We're going seven games again.
Okay.
But I'll go with the Pacers. I don't know, just something. They're balanced. Nobody has to be the ball hawk. They just spread it around. They're very efficient. And to be honest with you, it hasn't bit New York to this point. But the way Thibodeau plays his guys during the regular season, I mean, they're up by 20 or down by 20 in the fourth quarter, and he's still got all of his starters out there. At some point, it's got to catch up with you. I'm not even a load management guy, but Thibodeau's excessive with that stuff.
You want to see more of a young Bob Haney? Tyler Kolek reminds me of me, 1983.
Sure.
But taller and better.
Why not?
It's the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's on vacation this week. Stay in Orioles history. Today is the 20th. of May 1997, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Rafael Palmeiro had two ribbies. Eric Davis, Robbie Alomar each drove in a run. Scott Kamenicki went seven strong for the win. Randy Myers picked up the save as he was brilliant in 97. 2023, Orioles taking on the Blue Jays in Toronto. We got free baseball until we didn't.
Runner at third, the 1-0. Swing at a ground ball towards third. Backhanded by Chapman. Coming down the line with the throw. It hit the runner in the back. And Mountcastle slides in safely. And the Orioles have a 6-5 lead.
Blue Jays Radio, the always exciting fielder's choice grounder, to bring in the eventual winning run as Austin Hayes, who had a big game last night for Cincinnati, by the way, drove in Ryan Mountcastle. Cedric Mullins, Ryan O'Hearn hit home runs. Felix Bautista got the win. The good old days of 2 years ago, the Orioles beat the Blue Jays 6-5. We'll talk about the real days of this year with Steve Molesky coming up top of the hour. We got the news from the Nest segment, Derrick Henry, in a few minutes. But when we come back, talk Terps. Dave LaMonica, Buzz Williams is buzzing, bringing in some talent. Maryland's got a new AD. Dave's going to talk about this guy. James E. Smith will be introduced to the masses coming up on...
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thursday. Coming up here, we got news from the Nest. Going to hear from Derrick Henry in a couple of minutes. Right now, talk about what's going on in College Park. However, from TerrapinTimes.com, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Dave LaMonica. Dave, what's happening? Good morning. Hope you're feeling all right here on this May 20th.
Yeah. Hey, Bob. How are you, my man? I'm doing well.
Appreciate the time, Dave. I'm doing great. Thank you very much. All right, Darius Adams will start men's basketball. He signed officially with Maryland yesterday. A McDonald's All-American out of New Jersey, committed originally to UConn. He is now signed, sealed, and delivered to Buzz Williams. So, first of all, tell the audience about Darius Adams, what he brings to the equation for this year's team, and the updated roster, which has literally been remade with an entire new cast of characters here.
Yeah, that's a huge get, getting Adams away from some other big players like Michigan State. This was another McDonald's All-American guy. Second year in a row, they've gotten one of those, a top 15 recruit. 6'5", more of a combo guard. He can handle the point, like on and off the ball. A very smooth, silky athlete. Not particularly explosive. He's not an above-the-rim guy, but he can get into the lane. And the best part is that he can shoot the basketball, which is something that a lot of the other guys on the roster, it's questionable. They're more drivers and slashers. This guy can shoot. Very smooth, repeatable stroke. He can score off the bounce. He can score off the pick and pop. So that's really what he brings to the table. But he can handle the ball, too, so he can run some point. Passes the ball pretty well. Sees the floor very well. Very good intangible qualities, too. He's sort of a natural leader. He's a guy that a lot of the big players wanted. He was originally committed to UConn, national champion 2 years in a row. He was very well thought of, and it was pretty big deal for Buzz to get him in here.
Now, Dave, you mentioned the roster as it's put together. A lot of, Buzz Williams transfers coming in from Texas A&M and Kansas and going out to Oregon State, bringing in a lot of different players. Some questioned, I wasn't along these lines, but some questioned Maryland's toughness when, things got physical. Maybe they couldn't rise to said challenge. I didn't buy that 100%, but how physical? Because Buzz Williams' teams, historically, they get after it 50-50 balls. They get them. So athletically, toughness-wise, is this going to be an upgrade over a team that, did go to the Sweet 16 last year?
Yeah, it's a completely different roster and mindset. I mean, these guys are all hard-nosed players, pretty much. We'll actually see what happens. He's probably the least hard-nosed of all of them, but the rest of the other 10 guys they brought in are all sort of bangers. Eliza Saunders and Pearl Payne down in the paint, Isaiah Watts, Miles Rice. I mean, these guys are defense-first, defensive-minded guys that really like to get after it on the defensive end and steals, block shots, So Maryland's going to have to, I mean, unless Adams can put up 25 points a game right now, it's looking like Maryland's going to be winning a lot of games, like 54 to 48, that kind of deal. So, we'll see. But, yeah, completely different than having three guys that shot over 37% from three-point range like last year.
Now, with Julian Reis, he entered the portal, has no eligibility left, but Keith Kavanaugh, of course, TerrapinTimes.com, said that, you know, he could get that year. I mean, it hasn't been officially confirmed, but assuming, say he does, and he's got to go, but there's legal battles here in play. If he does get another year, does that mean he's coming back to College Park, or is that ship sailed either way here?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much sailed right now. They got another backup big man from Northeastern, Colin Metcalf, who's sort of in that Patrick Emelian role. Like, people remember him from a couple years ago, sort of a guy that can block shots and rebound. That was sort of the backup big man that they've got, and that sort of filled out the and he's going to rotate through with Payne and Saunders underneath there. I think if Reese, he's probably going to get that extra year. And if he does choose to play another year of college ball instead of going the pro route, then it's probably going to be at another school. Maryland didn't. What we heard is that they just didn't have the NIL that he's going to be looking for. He's going to be looking for $2 million plus. They've already given that to Pearl Payne, who brought over from TAMU with them. So if Reese does play another year of college ball, it'll probably be at a different locale in College Park.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, talking to Bob Haney here as we get into the Maryland thing, as we're months away, obviously, from the start of college basketball season, but recruiting hot and heavy. Sebastian Wilkins, he's going to decide one of the top prospects for 2026. It's Maryland Duke. Where is he leaning? He'll announce on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to ask. This one's a 50-50 right now. We haven't gotten it. We might get some more intel closer to it. Cautiously optimistic. For Duke, he's more of a luxury. For Maryland, he's a need. So I'm not sure if that's going to affect his decision or not, but Maryland really needs this guy. He's more dynamic than anybody on the roster besides maybe Adams. Strong power wing, can play inside, outside. His shot's still developing, but he can score in a variety of ways, plays hard defense, very, very versatile, can guard four different positions. He's a top 30 recruit, a borderline five-star guy. He's a guy that would change the entire dynamic of Maryland's team right now, because you could take somebody like a Solomon Washington or somebody else that's slated to start, and all of a sudden they're the sixth man or the seventh man, and they can be a depth piece because Wilkins would come in here and probably start right away.
All right. Dave. Yeah. All right, Dave, real quick, because we got to get a break, and I know you're a busy man. James E. Smith, new AD, is going to get introduced on Thursday. What does he bring to the equation that, say, Damon Evans did not?
Pure business guy right here. That's the direction that college athletics is going in, because college athletics is no longer college athletics. It's professional sports. So they got a guy from basically the pro ranks who's well-versed in the business field, knows how to generate revenue, which Maryland was last in the Big Ten in generating revenue. He's going to up those ticket sales. He's got creative ways to sort of get fans in the seats and increase marketing and things like that. And that's sort of the main goal. They need more money. Maryland's struggling in that department with donors, with just cash influx in general. So hopefully he can help with that.
As Charlie's mom said in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, money me. Money me now. Money, money, money. He's Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, buddy. There's Dave LaMonaco. We'll come back. News from the Nest real quick. Steve Molesky will be joining us in studio. We got Buy or Sell coming up around 12:15. Where's our money? Money me. Money us here on The Fan. Derrick Henry met with the media, signing his contract extension. Already in workout mode, lugging living room sets up mountains, trying to duplicate that monster season of 24. We were saying yesterday, hey, if he gets 1,510, we're cool with that. Because last year was almost 2,000 and over 15 touchdowns, that is, almost 6 yards a carry. But Derrick Henry was asked why, in the end, Derrick Henry, staying in Baltimore is what you wanted all along.
Yeah, I think just embarking on a new journey. I was in Tennessee for 8 years, so coming here, everything was new, and all I want to do is gain my respect for my teammates and everybody in this organization. By the way, I work and carry myself, and over time as I got here, you know, I just, you know, fell in love with everything, with the brotherhood, by the way they work, how they approach everything, and then getting to the season, it's like icing on the cake. You know, I know we came up short, but it was a lot of fun, and you know, we have a lot of great players.
Look, he's a guy, the saying is play like a Raven. He was a guy that was born to be a Raven. And he came in, was welcomed with open arms, assimilated right from the jump. He was at the off-season weight training program, early OTAs. He was at most of the preseason stuff. And that had this monster season. Now he's on the other side of 30, and usually that's when running backs begin to lose their effectiveness. But he doesn't look like a guy. I mean, the modern athletes now, they don't fizzle out in the olden days times. I mean, they continue on marching into their late 30s. You have baseball players still playing at a high level. Look at LeBron James, 40 years old. Well, Charlie Morton might not be the best example for the Orioles, but you get the point. Tennis players were done by the time they hit 30. Look at Federer, Nadal, those guys kicking and kicking in a big way. So just because you hit 30 doesn't mean you're done any longer as a running back. Now, expecting him to duplicate what he did last year, okay. Might be asking a little bit too much, but not impossible. And if you get 1,500 yards, 5.5 yards a carry, 10 TDs, you'll take that in a heartbeat. And here is Derrick Henry talking about that offense and why he enjoys playing in it so much.
Yeah, I really enjoyed last season a lot, you know, because like I said, I was in Tennessee for 8 years, and being able to play alongside a player like Lamar, best player in the league, it was just dynamic and a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of young guys on offense and on this team, so I feel like they give me youth and give me a lot of energy. And you know, last year was a lot of fun. We accomplished winning the division, you know, got into the playoffs, but you know, ultimately we came up short. So.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry's been in a championship game. Remember Tennessee in 19 beat the Ravens in the divisional round. They fell short against Kansas City. So Derrick Henry, like a lot of players on this Ravens team, have tasted divisional success. They've won playoff games. They haven't gotten into the Super Bowl and won the thing. So that's a team-wide goal. And this is a Ravens team that's kind of running it back for the most part with some tweaks here or there. The big story is going to be, barring injury, once we get into OTAs, minicamp, and ultimately into training camp in the season, how Tyler Loop is going to step up, replacing Justin Tucker, who is no longer with the organization. So that's going to be maybe the biggest storyline of camp. And then once the games start, talking about it yesterday, he goes to Buffalo, kicks the game winner. Welcome to Baltimore, kid. He's 1 for 3 and misses one that cost him the game. Oh, boy. People are going to want to fire John Harbaugh. Maybe even Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias, too, because it will be September as the Orioles are still in the throes of whatever this season has become a disaster, quite frankly. And joining us next to talk about that, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan, covered the Orioles for many years, and he's connected. He's Steve Molesky. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Birds lose last night. 5-4, seventh straight loss. Brandon Hyde is gonzo. What are you doing to change the team? We're getting to that more here on this Turn It Up Tuesday.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.